So if you're a brand new investor and you're just getting started, my honest opinion is yes, I would start as soon as you possibly can. The moment you have the ability to make that investment into it, that's the day you should start because it is a long-term play.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
What's going on, everyone that is listening to this new episode of the Online Hustlers Podcast? In this episode, we have someone special that I happen to share a lot of network with, and a lot of our circle is around these great individuals that share a lot of value and provide a lot of value to wholesalers and real estate investors and marketers in the real estate space. And that's why I wanted to give him the opportunity to come to the podcast and share good stuff that he has going on in his business about digital marketing. So he does a lot of different things in digital marketing. He's been in digital marketing for quite a while. He's going to explain more about that story, but he currently helps real estate investors and wholesalers. And I want to find out what type of investors and wholesalers he currently helps, but he helps them with having a better website, ranking on their website, making sure that there's an organic marketing coming in as well, ensuring that they have the systems and developing processes and developing CRMs for them and helping them in many other different ways for digital marketing. So his name is Bob McIntosh, and I'm going to have him here in this episode. What's up? How do you, man?
What's happening? Thanks for having me on, and for all of you guys listening, I appreciate your time. It's a very valuable thing that you're giving to us.
Yeah, man. I really like to kind of know a little bit of the story of the people that come in here really quickly, kind of what their background's been and how they got to become experts in their field. In your case, you're a digital marketing expert in the real estate investing space, but you do also do different fields as well, other different industries that you fulfill for. Right now, you want to grow your brand and the amount of clients and the amount of people that you help, the community that you've been, your family mastermind. So I definitely want to make sure that we can tell everyone, to show everyone what you're capable of doing, but also teach them a few things, a few nuggets that they maybe are missing out and they could go ahead and apply tonight. That's why I want to make sure that we can provide as much value as possible in this episode. So if you can tell us a little bit more about what's your experience, what is it kind of what you do, and how can you how you help wholesalers and so on.
Yeah. So I got my start as a real estate investor. I was fortunate enough to have a little bit of money left over from my parents. And I had about 10 grand and I was like, through college, and I was like, all right, well, what the heck am I going to do with this? And so I ended up reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He talked about real estate. I was like, all right, that sounds cool. And so I bought my first rental property with that back in 2008. When things were a very interesting time to do that. So bought that and I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm making $200 a month net positive cash flow. I was like, that's awesome. But it's not going to change my life. I was like, I need a lot more of these. And, I had a job that paid, pretty well, but it wasn't, going to get me there fast enough. So we started flipping. Our first flip completely bombed, just totally lost a bunch of money. But some reason kept going anyways. And since then I've done a lot of deals. I don't remember exactly how many, flipped a ton of houses and, built our rental portfolio. We've only been focused on that really for the last, couple of years. I think we're at 34 doors right now. So it's small by some. For some people, they'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it just depends on where you're at in your journey. But did that. But what happened, and how I got into digital marketing was when we started, we did everything in Buffalo, New York. So all of our rentals and all of our flips and all that were all in Buffalo, New York, except for the very first one, which was just outside of Manhattan. And I had ended up moving to Los Angeles. So I lived 3,000 miles away. And I was like, well, how do I provide value to this business? Now, mind you, this is at a time when, I mean, shoot, like Dropbox had just come out. Like the ability to share files on the internet was like this new cool thing that you could do. Like it was a very different time than it is today where like, you know, virtual whatever is, it's kind of a almost mainstream, if you will. And so I got good at internet marketing. I said, this is what I, you know, I know I come from a tech background. I know how to do this stuff. Let's make it work. And so if you look to date, about 40% of all the deals that we've done have come from our internet marketing activities. A lot of that from the SEO and our website and things of that nature. So I got very good at that. As I got good at that, one of the largest education companies hired me to come in and basically build out their platform to teach their students how to do what I had done for our business. And I've now taught that for many of the large education companies out there in the real estate investing space specifically. And
Which one was it again? I think you told me about it when we met, but
yeah. So mostly is for Fortune Builders. So if you've heard that one, yeah. So, I think they're probably one of the largest, and then a couple others. But yeah, so I did that, and now about 4 years ago or so, we just said, hey, instead of just teaching it, what if I actually just did it for people? Because most investors I found, you know, they understand the power of the internet, that they should be on the internet and it should, you know, all that, but they either don't know how to, don't know where to start, or they're wearing so many other hats that the internet marketing hat is the one that falls off the quickest and easiest because it's not something that they're usually have an in-depth knowledge around.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what is it when you used to teach, what are the fundamentals they used to teach, and like to what extent did you actually help them, or to what extent did you actually teach them?
Yeah. So the core tenets, and they've changed a little bit over time, right? You know, if you think about over the last, you know, decade or so, a lot's changed in just internet marketing itself and what we can do. But the core tenets of what I taught, and I still teach today to this day is, number one, you've got to have a great website. I don't care. It's even more important today than it was 10 years ago. And it was important then. If you look bad on the internet, the only thing worse than having no website is having a bad website, because 94% of people are going to judge you and your business's credibility on your website design alone, not your experience, not your content, not your information, not how many deals you've done. None of that matters. They're looking at just your design. So that's a massive piece. And I promise you this. If your website is either non-existent or looks bad, you're losing out in business. Lenders aren't going to lend to you or call you. People who want to sell to you are going to choose somebody else over you because they look better. Like, it's going to impact every area of your business. That's number one. Number two, I still firmly believe that investing in SEO for the long term is going to be one of your cheapest cost per acquisitions. Long term. In the short term, it will not be, right? Because it's a long term play. But if you look at the amount that we've invested in SEO for our website, and even though I'm not actively doing it at this point in time, because I don't need to, honestly, we just get deals brought to us at this point because we've been doing it for so long. But even when I was active in SEO, my cost investment in versus how many deals we got out is insane. Like if you look at that number, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it's under $200 per cost to acquire a deal. And there's not very many marketing platforms out there that can, top that. So, but it just takes time. It takes time and effort and energy, and you have to be consistent. If you don't do those things, you're not going to. So, and then the third part of what I think is the most important is just good follow-up. It's never been easier to have good follow-up with a good CRM or, you know, and all the platforms that exist and automation abilities. And if you leave if you focus on just those three things, you will get more deals, you will raise more money, you will close more buyers. Everything that you want to do becomes easier because those three things work in direct alignment with each other.
Yeah. Okay, great. So if someone were to go to the first thing that you said and do that, to get started to position themselves in a better way digitally, where would they start in terms of website? Should they do something like ClickFunnels, like WordPress? Would they go to Carrot? Like, what is it that you really recommend doing?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a great website and you're a starting investor, come to me. We have a very low cost option. It's built on WordPress. It's a template like many others. But the most important thing you can do, regardless whether you come with me or not, right? Like the most important things that you can have on your website is clearly communicate who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And have pages that speak to all the different people that we deal with in real estate. So whether you're a wholesaler or a flipper, or you're doing, you know, mid-term rental, short-term rental, long-term rental, I don't care. All spaces of real estate. We're going to talk to sellers because we got to buy a house from somebody. We're going to talk to buyers at some point in time, right? It may not be today that we need to do it, but if we're doing doing that, but we got to, someone's got to either buy or rent the place from us. Agents, we're going to talk to them because let's be real, a lot of deals still come from the MLS. I know people, you know, talk bad about it all the time, but the reality is it's the single largest source of properties out there. And there's deals to be had if you do it right. And there's great agents that will bring you deals if you build them. Like we have over 2,600 agents on our list, right? Like I promise you one of those 2,600 is going to, well, each of those 2,600 is going to bring me about one good deal every 2 to 4 years. Right. And so those are great. We're going to need contractors, you know, or people that can do inspect houses. Even if you're wholesaling, right, you've got to get a rough idea of what the repair cost is or how are you negotiating? I mean, you don't know how to, what to price the deal at. We're going to need lenders because it's always good to have money for whether it be for EMDs, whether it be for transactional funding or whether it be for, you know, buying and flipping and renovating, you're always needing money. So all of those things, all of those people, they're different people. They need to be spoken to differently. So make sure you have content that speaks to each of those people so that they know who you are, what you do, and how you do it for them.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive a little bit more into it. So that content, would it be like a landing page specifically for them? Or are you talking about more like blogs? Or what is specifically, like if I were to create one right here and then I use the power of AI to help me with the content, let's say I have a page for wholesalers so that they can bring me other you know, deals, flippers, real estate agents, and obviously, I mean, sellers, obviously, right? And would that be like a page for each one of them, like a landing page? Or are you talking about
so blogs? I build everything on like one website, right? And not necessarily as blogs, because blog content and format is not going to speak to people who are trying to learn information about you, right? It's great for learning information in general, but you want to make sure that, you know, you got to have the right images. You got to have the right call to action. All that stuff becomes important. And look, the way that we design all of our sites, if you look at them, it's always seller focused first. Everything else is secondary because everybody else that we deal with, they'll hunt a little bit longer to find the information that we need to go to the link on my menu to get to the page that we need them to be on. But sellers are a little bit more flaky, usually, especially because they're usually in some sort of distress situation. They don't want to hunt for things. They want their answers quickly. So just have a page on your core site for all of those. I also firmly believe, personally, I don't believe in separate or segregated landing pages or squeeze pages or whatever you want to call them. As investors, one of the, you know, we drive a lot of traffic. If you're doing direct mail, you're doing paid ads, we're sending a lot of people to a website potentially. By having your landing pages segregated someplace else and not on your core site, you're losing all of that traffic to your core site, which is hurting your SEO long term. And if you're going to pay for that traffic anyways, it might as well boost up what you do. So I'm not saying don't have landing pages, but just make a landing page within your core site. So that way everyone and all that traffic is going to the same place. And there's a lot of reasons without getting into all the technical mumbo jumbo of SEO for that, but it will benefit you and boost your site up and visibility up in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Now, if you're doing paid traffic and that paid traffic is very flaky, has short-term memory, short-term attention span, stuff like that, and you want them to fill out the form as quickly as possible or make it as easy as possible, that landing page within your website, would you have the menu as well there so they get distracted? Or would it make it a no menu, just straight up, it's still on your website, but it's straight up to do the thing that they need to do, which is give me the information.
Yeah. Just give me your information. There's no menu. You got to have like a menu, like you got, because you have to have usually have your privacy and your terms of service linked someplace, usually right at the footer. But outside of that, no, it's just straight call to action. Either give me your information or GTFO.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. And in terms of the second thing, right, you said the second step and a second step to have a really great position out there digitally for your business is going to do investment in SEO, mm-hmm. right? So search engine optimization. So you can explain a little bit of why it's important to do it, but would it make sense to do it at the very beginning of your business? When would it make sense, and how deep of an investment should you do? Mm-hmm. And if you're already deep in your business, like obviously start ASAP, but like, does it make sense to start doing it at the very beginning of your business? And how is that approach?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways that you're going to want to look at this. When we consider SEO and the idea of getting ranked on Google and out there, right? Is it the most important thing for your business? No. I would always say, well, what's your budget? How much do you have available? Realistically, you need to probably have about $500 a month, bare minimum, to make an investment into SEO. That's going to be useful. Or you need to have a lot of time available. But the reality is, if you're an investor, your time is not best spent creating stuff for SEO. Let other people do that, because it's a very low dollar an hour task in many cases. The process is well documented. You can go out there and find a million blogs that will tell you exactly what you need to do to get ranked. It's just doing those things over and over. So if you're a brand new investor and you're just getting started, my honest opinion is yes, I would start as soon as you possibly can. The moment you have the ability to make that investment into it, that's the day you should start, because it is a long-term play. If you have a brand new website or you're a new investor, you're not going to see results probably for about 12 months or more before those release. But what happens is it can become very hockey stick over time. So it might only be, let's say you spend 12 months and you get one deal from your investment this year. Okay, cool. That's great. It's not life-changing, but for most folks, that'd be pretty awesome. Well, year two might be two deals. Then year three might be, three and a half deals. And I say half, but you understand from that. Year four might be six. Year, five might be 18, right? Like, it starts to stack up very quickly how much comes in, because Google wants to see that you're continually doing these things. So the sooner you start, the better off you're going to be, because you need to know that it's going to take time to sort of stack up and build up over time. Now, when you look at this from that standpoint, right, the moment you have the ability to make that investment, I would start immediately. And this is a pay-to-play game. There's no other way around it, right? Like, it's your best benefit, your best bang for your buck is how much money can you invest into SEO, and understand that over the long term, that's going to be good. So if you're already, crushing it in real estate, right, and you've got 5,000 grand, a month that you can apply to that, perfect, do it. Right? Set that aside. Know that. Now, there is a diminishing return, right, in the real estate space. You don't need to go spend $50,000 a month on SEO. That's not going to probably, that's overkill. One of the reasons that I love SEO so much, outside of just being a low cost way to acquire deals in the long term, is that not many investors do it. They simply, for whatever reason, they just choose to do other things. And the reality is, if you were to dissect some of your marketing budget into this, again, you may not see it in the first year, maybe not even in the second year, but year three, four, five, six, seven of your business, that investment will start to pay off, and it will pay off handsomely. So the sooner you can start, the better.
So investment in SEO would mean what? Putting in someone in a position that they can work on the SEO, or an agency that can do all the daily activities that SEO needs in order to pick up in the first few months, first year, right? But what are those daily activities that do you need when you're starting out for SEO?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest things that are going to move the needle now, and I want to back up just for a quick second. First of all, there's over 200 factors that determine how you get ranked on Google. And they're changing those constantly, and each of them is weighted differently. But there's a handful of core factors that you can focus on as an investor to get the biggest bang for your buck. And I'll talk about those in a second. But if you focus on those things, the awesome thing about real estate investing specifically is that not many people are doing this, right? Now, if I look at other niches, especially like in the e-commerce space, like everyone is selling something someplace, and there's always a bigger shop that has more money to spend on SEO. So it's very difficult in that space to make it work. But in real estate, not a lot of people are doing this. So there's a lot of opportunity, and you don't have to do 200 things. You got to focus on just a handful. And so those handfuls are going to move the needle for you guys the most. Number one is going to be good keyword research. Understand in your markets that you operate in, what are people actually searching? Not what we think they're searching, right? So fun fact, most people think, well, if I want to sell my house, I'd be searching sell house fast. Actually, that's not the case. That terminology is only used for the most part in about 45% of markets across the country of the United States. That term is not used by a lot of other people. So understand that what we think people are looking for and what they're actually looking for can be two very different things. So do the research to understand that. And Google gives you a free tool. You can go to Moz, M-O-Z. They give you some free searches. There's lots of ways to find what people are actually searching. Start there though. Understand what they are. Number two, you've got to have content on your site. So that's blogs. Create blog posts, and you can use AI to do it for you. Just go to ChatGPT and have it write something. Of course, check it, research it, make sure it's good. Don't just assume that it's going to do the right thing, because trust me, it doesn't. Not always anyways. And go from there. And then one of the things though is that if you use AI to create your content, you need to run it through a duplication check. Copyscape is a good one that I use. But you just need to make sure that it's unique enough, right? Because if it's not unique, you're not going to get any benefit. And now you've written something. Sure, you got it, you know, you got it for cheap because it's AI. But if it's not actually going to help you, who cares? So do that. And then number three, biggest thing that's going to move the needle. There's two more really. Number three is going to be backlinks. So you need to have links on other sites that point back to your site. If you do that, you will start to see your rankings grow. But understand that not all backlinks are created equal. There's a whole system to it. I don't know if you want to go into the details here or not, but certain sites carry more weight. And you want to be on the best sites you can for that. But ultimately, right now, for most investors, quantity will matter more than quality in most cases. And so I'd rather see you get 100 links from 100 different halfway decent sites than 1,000 links from one really highly rated site, right? Quantity is going to have more impact to your bottom line as you go along. And usually that requires buying it. It's the easiest and fastest way. You just go out, there's services you can go use and just buy backlinks. But what I will say is that you get what you pay for, right? You can go find a cheap site, they charge you $10 for some backlinks, and you're like, great, I got 1,000 backlinks from 1,000 sites. But it's like, are they going to still be there in a month or 2 months or 6 months? Maybe not. So find a reputable source. Look up the reviews. There's lots of places out there to find this. You can do that. And then number four.
Sorry. Before we go to number four, is that like, for instance, getting published or a press release on a news article or in a news magazine or something like that? That
it could be. So there's one thing to note when it comes to PR sources. A lot of PR sources say, hey, you get a link back to your site, which is great. What they don't tell you, because no one ever tends to ask this, is that link what they call do follow or no follow? A no follow link means there's a link there. They can click on it to go to your site, but it doesn't carry any weight from Google. They've told Google, don't count this as a backlink to that website. That's what we call a no follow. A lot of PR sources will give you no follow links, which doesn't really help you at all. So yeah, the piece is there. That's great. There's a link there. That's great. But from an SEO purposes, it doesn't help in any way. So you want to make sure it is what we call a do follow link. That will help.
Okay. Number four.
And then number four is optimizing your site for the keywords that you've researched. So make sure you use that keyword throughout the site. Make sure that your business name is used throughout the site. It sounds weird to put your business name in a page 10 or 15 times, but the reality is if someone Googles your business, you want to be found for your business. So you got to have your name in your site. Otherwise, they might not find you that way, right? So things like that. And then just use those keywords that you research throughout the site, the blogs, in a lot of places, because Google is their algorithm is very intelligent. It understands not just the words that you're using, but it also understands the interconnectivity of those words. So for example, if you put we buy houses and sell house fast on two different blogs, it understands that the kind of person searching those terms is going to be very similar. So it might show both of those to someone who's searching for something that's not either one of those, because it understands that interconnectivity. So just, research good keywords, find the ones that make sense and still are obviously relative to your business and what you're doing, and then include those in what you're doing. And then for real estate, also make sure you use your locations. So like talk about the cities, the neighborhoods, the the developments, the things that you're like where you are, the more that you do that, the more localized it gets. And what happens is Google search is smart enough to understand that someone is searching from that area. And because they're searching from that area, you have a better chance of showing up if you've been talking about that area in all of your content that you're creating for your site.
Okay, that's pretty awesome. Now, obviously, what if wholesalers ultimately, let's say they also do creative financing, they also do maybe novations, and they want to attract the right individuals for each bucket, right? Maybe they also do other type of exit strategies. How would you change the SEO and how would you change the creation of the website or modify the creation of the website in order to fit this different type of user personas?
Yeah, well, so I mean, when it comes to that, it's just a matter of creating directed content and information that speaks to that end person. So if you're talking to someone, let's take creative finance, because you know that's a hot topic these days, right? Well, so talk about and create posts that talk about all the different ways that creative finance can happen. I want to target sellers who are open to the idea of creative financing. Okay, well, the first thing I'm going to talk about is like, hey, you know, if you sell your house and take all the profit from the massive equity that you've gained over the last few years because of the appreciation, you're going to get hit with a massive tax bill for anything over $250,000 if you're single, right? Or and whatever the number is if you're a couple, I forget, right? So, you know, I would talk about all the tax benefits that come with not selling your house directly in that, right? Think about all the things that you want to communicate to someone about why they would want to do that thing with you, and then create content around that thing so that when they search it, it's there, one. And two, when someone finds you and you say, oh, actually, you know what? I created an amazing blog post that talks about all the different ways that we do creative financing and why it's a benefit to you. Here's the link, right? Now, when you've presented this offer of creative financing to someone and you have a blog in your post that talks about all the benefits to them, right? It's like a no-brainer. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, he understands this. This is not just some weird trick, right? Like, there's you know, information behind it.
Yeah. All right. And then step three, we're going to talk about great follow-up, which I love that you actually do part of it, because it's what majority of people actually struggle with or they fail miserably with. And because you're here, I want to know, what is it that you have been able to create so far? What type of system do you have? And how does it apply to the follow-up? Like, how do you make sure that follow-up and everything that you already created for them, website, great reputation, lead generation, and all of that, in the follow-up, we can leverage all these assets with a great follow-up and then ultimately convert more deals. So
yeah. So here's what I say, right? And I've seen, look, I've spent more than 4,000 hours on stage. I've taught more than 15,000 real estate investors across this country. So I've seen everything from guys doing literally hundreds of deals a month down to someone trying to get their first deal. And even the big guys are, in my opinion, not doing as much follow-up as they should. So one of the things that we've been tracking through our CRM and all the users who use it is how many touch points does it seem to take right now to get sellers to actually move forward. And what we're finding right now is that number hovers around 14 to 15 touch points. And very few investors are doing that much follow-up. They might have 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7, but most of them are not doing 14 or 15. Now, when I say a touch point, let's get very clear on what I mean by that. That could be a text message. It could be an email. It could be a phone call. It could be a direct mail piece. It could be an advertisement on a platform. Like something that they saw you in. That's what I define a touch point as. But what we try to do and what I, you know, in our CRM is not all, but many of our campaigns are at least 14 touch points. So there's 14, you know, either emails, texts, or some combination therein, because what we've found for most of our users is that if they simply implement better follow-up, they get more deals. And if your follow-up sequences last for a longer period of time, presuming that they can, right? Like obviously in a foreclosure situation, you've got a defined time period, but in other situations where there's not a defined time period, more often than not, the best deals happen later on in that follow-up sequence. And the reason is that maybe they've, you know, got it under contract two or three times and there's now they're finally just, it's fallen out and they're frustrated and they just want their money and they just want to close. And that's touch point number 13 for you, right? And they're like, you know what? This guy has been consistently following up with me. Maybe it's time that I actually reach out to him and talk to him because I just want this thing sold, right? And you know, like for us, like we look at most of our deals, probably less than 10% came from the initial point of contact. Or even the initial offer, it's usually down the road. Oh, we declined your offer. Okay, no problem. But I still follow up with them until they literally tell me to stop. All right. You know, I call it the unsubscribe or die. Those are the only two ways you're getting off my list. and even if you die, I'm going to hit you with the probate emails. So, you know, it is what it is. but yeah, no, just do more, right? And like, so for example, we just had a guy who just came on our CRM, right? And I think he imported in somewhere around like 11 or 12,000 leads that he had. I was like, cool, let's put him into a follow-up. And he pulled two deals out of his quote dead leads that he imported. I was like, you'd be amazed at how often you just don't do enough. And because you're not doing enough, you're leaving money on the table, especially with, you know, let's be real. I don't care who you are. If you're an investor, it's a numbers game. We got to have a lot of leads, like, you know, a lot of prospects, a lot of leads. If you are putting the right follow-up in place on those prospects, you'll squeeze a few more deals out than you probably already, you would if you didn't. So,
yeah, 100%. So now this CRM, are you recommend any piece of technology? Do you build it yourself? Like what do you recommend for this?
So we have ours, it's called Velocity CRM. It's go high level. I'll be transparent. That's what it is. But we've stacked on all of my knowledge of internet marketing on top of it. So, you know, we've got over 80 custom fields to track every data point. I've got 35, soon to be 40 drip sequences for just about anybody that you want to talk to, right? Because what I realize is, look, you can go get any CRM anywhere, right? Like the technology behind ours is phenomenal and I love it, but you can get that same technology a lot of places. What doesn't change though is that if you don't have the right follow-up, if you don't use the system to what it's for, then it doesn't matter where you go, right? Like a spreadsheet is just as good if you're going to sit there and do nothing with it. I would rather you don't use me at all. In fact, don't pay me if you're not going to use my system, because then you're just wasting money for no reason, or any system for that matter. But the point is, the biggest thing that you can do as an investor is find a system that has the thing that you need to get you to your end result faster. So look, can you pay less than you're going to pay me if you went to Podio or someplace like that? 100%. But now it's time, because all marketing is either time or dollars. It's one of those two things. You're either going to pay for it with your time or you're going to pay for it with your dollars. And sometimes you're going to pay for it with both, which is never a good idea, but sometimes it happens. So figure out what's more important to you right now. Do you have more time or do you have more money? And if you have neither, by the way, then that's where you got to stop for a second and say, well, why? And what can I do to fix that quicker? Because you're going to need one or the other to really effectively do real estate.
I love that. I love that, man. Is there anything that right now, maybe people that are currently running paid media, you know, online lead generations, such as Facebook, Google ads, YouTube ads, that with what you know, they could just potentially just drastically increase the amount of leads or the amount of deals that they do? I know you mentioned follow-up, but like anything at all, like even just by just clicking, like creating a website that, or putting information on Google My Business, is there anything at all that can literally just drastically change the amount of deal flow that they have when they run online lead gen?
Yeah. So the number one thing that I see continuously is just bad follow-up or not enough. And I know we just talked about that, but if you're running paid advertising, especially, because let's be real, paid advertising is great. It's very scalable. It's, you know, it's quick to set up in the terms of, you know, I don't have to go wait for like signs to show up or direct mail to be mailed to me and then go out. Like I don't have to wait for the postal service. Like that's great. But it's also expensive, you know, in terms of leads. And not to say that it's a bad thing, right? Like if you're making money, then great, keep doing it. Like, you know, if I'm putting $3, getting $3 out for every dollar in, then hey, keep doing it. One of the things that I'll say is just implement that better follow-up. But number two is understand, especially for a paid cold traffic, right? So if I'm running Google PPC or if I'm running Facebook ads or TikTok or anywhere, right? This is a person who doesn't really know me. I want to talk about sellers specifically because we're going to treat different people in different ways. But if I look at sellers, because that's what most people need right now, is like, hey, I need deals, right? So what is their journey through your system? My bet is most people, because I've seen this, who are running paid ads have never actually gone through the journey that they're paying for someone to go through. And stop for a second and put yourself in the mindset of someone who's in a distressed situation in some capacity. They need to sell their house. They need to get rid of it, you know, because the reality is they're not selling their house at a discount to you or even with creative finance, probably, unless there's something going on for them. Right? There's usually a situation behind that. So walk through, look at your language. Is that consistent with who you are and the opportunity that you're presenting? So for example, when we do, especially when we were flipping it at the biggest point, everyone else's messaging out there was, I'll buy your house for cash fast. You know, no closing fees, no blah, 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 whatever. It's the same thing that everyone's been saying for the last 40 years, right? I didn't use that messaging. Instead, I said, hey, we're here to solve your situation, regardless of what your situation is. I'm going to get you the best option to sell your house. Whether or not it's me doesn't matter. I will tell you the best option to sell your house. It could be me. It could be someone else. I'm here to get you the best for what you need. And that simple change in messaging drastically changed how many deals we got. Why? Because instead of just the same thing that they saw from everybody else, now I'm a little bit different, right? And also it's seller focused. It's customer focused. It's hey, I don't like, there's a lot of folks who I'm not your best option, right? Like you definitely shouldn't sell your house to me. You should go someplace else. And here's the funny part. 9 times out of 10, when I told someone else there's a better option that wasn't me, they still chose me anyways, which is hilarious if you think about it. But that messaging, just making sure. So take someone through that journey or take yourself through that journey and say, if I was this person I'm trying to attract into my business and get more deals, does this make sense? Does everything flow? Can I, like, if I go to the page on my phone, especially, like, does it load up right? Does it look good? Is it consistent? Is the messaging there? What's the experience? Like, I see a lot of these now where it's like someone opts in and they get like 5 texts in the first 10 minutes. I'm like, stop for a second and imagine if you were someone in a distress situation and someone texts you 5 times in 10 minutes, you'd be like, whoa, simmer down. Like, hold on a second. Like, I don't even know who you are yet. And you're hitting me, like, you know what I mean? And like, so just go through that journey. And I think you'll find a lot of opportunity.
All right. Is there anything that you may want to share before we finish this episode for anyone out there that is really trying to make it online and just like build their great reputation and position their company really well? And how can people also find you as well? Yeah.
So the last thing I'll share is just don't worry about like the internet and internet marketing. Like let's be real. I just shared a lot of information. There's a lot that you could take from this to implement immediately. Don't worry about trying to get everything done. Just start with a little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit, right? If you're in this game to win it long-term, you don't need to do everything immediately. Just keep taking bite-sized chunks out of this and you'll get there. Before you know, you look back and be like, man, like I can't believe I did all that, right? That's the best advice I can give you is just keep implementing those things. As far as connecting with me, if you want to connect with me, I would love to. You can just head to go3dc.com. That's G-O, the number 3DC for 3 Degrees Consulting. go3dc.com/Bob McIntosh. And there's no A in my last name, Bob, McIntosh. On that page is, you can download my contact card. It's got my cell phone, my email, all my socials, everything there. I'd be happy to connect with anybody out there in the real estate world and help you if I can.
Is it, so go3dc.com/Bob McIntosh?
No, A. So McIntosh.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll make sure.
It's pronounced like there's an A there, but there's not an A in the spelling.
Yeah. All good. All right. So go 3dc.com/Bob McIntosh if you want to reach out to him. Thank you, Matt, for being part of this episode. And I'd love to have you in the secondary episode, maybe in person here in Miami. Now that you're a nomad, I know that you basically have no home. You're homeless.
Homeless. I'll make my way down there at some point. Maybe a little bit later in the year when it's not quite so hot. I like warm, but not melting.
All right, man. I'll see you in Family Mastermind.
Absolutely. And,
hope that you have a great one. Thank you for sharing everything that you have here. For anyone that listened to this episode and loved it, just give us about 60 seconds to put a 5-star review if you loved it, or if it was a 4-star, tell us why. Whether you're in a Spotify or whether you're an Apple Podcast or even in YouTube, let us know if you liked it. And the more that you actually give us reviews and the more that you recommend it to our friends, the more that we're going to be able to share better stuff. Because more people are going to know about it and more people are going to come and try to share their stuff, like excellent people like Bob. So, all right. Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you for being part of this episode. We're going to end this now.